Romans chapter 12, verse 11 will be the main text here, but I'll start reading in verse 10. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. What do you do when your zeal is wavering? It says, do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. What is zeal, and how is it different from our faith and our belief? Belief is your personal conviction to facts as you see them. Beliefs can be misplaced. Yesterday we went hiking. I went hiking in the North Georgia mountains with Josh, and I believed I had firm footing for a good amount of it, but it's snowy up there and icy, and very often my beliefs were unfounded. I slipped a good amount on the ice. But it's the same with Jesus. We believe in Jesus as a real and living God, but there are some people who have unfounded beliefs who do not believe in Jesus as a real person, but a spiritual person who wasn't really here, or they believe that he was a man, but just a good man, or some people don't even believe him at all. But our beliefs can be firm, but you could be missing faith and you could be missing your zeal. We can define faith as apart from zeal by Hebrews 11:1. It says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is belief looking forward, essentially. Faith is looking forward to something that will happen. We have faith that Jesus will save us. We believe that he has washed away our sins. You see, there's a little difference there. But zeal is defined as a great energy or enthusiasm for a cause. Our zeal for God, our zeal in Christianity, is our energy or enthusiasm for the Bible, for God, for looking to him. To help us identify how we can overcome our zeal and how it wavers, we need to try to find what may be causing us to waver, our zeal to waver. Fear may be one of those reasons. If you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 22. We see in Luke 22, verse 50, that it says, one of them struck the slave of the high priest's ear and cut it off. And we know from John chapter 18, verse 10, that was Peter. He definitely did not lack zeal in that instance. But in the same verse, the same chapter farther along, we see, starting in verse 54, having arrested him, they led him away and brought him to the house of the high priest. But Peter was following at a distance. And after they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter was sitting among them. And a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the firelight, looked intently at him and said, this man was with him too. But he denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. See, lack of zeal. A little later, another saw him and said, you are one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. But after an hour had passed, another began and to insist, saying, certainly this man was also with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are talking about. And immediately, while he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, and how he told him, before the rooster crowed today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. In this case, Peter was lacking zeal for when he had so much zeal earlier on. But in the If the cause of our wavering zeal is fear, then we need to look to him like Peter did. We see a good example of this in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, we see that he was faced with death if he continued to worship in verses 7 through 11. The king called aloud to bring in the courtiers and the Chaldeans and the diviners. The king spoke and said to the wise men of Babylon, any man who can read this inscription and... Oh, sorry, wrong chapter. Chapter 6, verses 7. All the commissioners of the kingdom and perfectionists and the satraps, the high officials and governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute to enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. So here Daniel had a good reason to be fearful. He could continue to worship and pray to the one true living God, or he can forsake that and worship the king. But we know what happened. He didn't worship the king. He continued to pray to God like he was supposed to. He was zealous. Daniel prayed without wavering zeal, and he was protected from death in the lion's den. Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. And we know that that Daniel was constant in prayer in this time. He was looking to God like Peter looked to God to increase his zeal and his faith. We are not, most of us are not faced with physical death when we worship. We may be faced with persecution, but spiritual death is still possible if our zeal wavers. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Look to him when your zeal is wavering out of fear. Another reason our zeal may waver is from distractions. If you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38, it says, now as they were traveling along, he entered a village. A woman whose name was Martha welcomed him, and he entered her house. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all of her preparations, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, you are worried and bothered about many things. Only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which is not to be taken away from her. If the cause of our wavering zeal is distractions, then we need to meditate on his word. Martha was distracted with the cares of the world, trying to be a good hostess, which wasn't necessarily a bad thing, but her distractions were taking away from the true purpose. She was distracted from the message of God. But if our zeal is wavering, then we need to meditate on these things. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says, how blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. If we are firmly rooted in our zeal And we're not distracted by the scoffers, by the wicked, by the path of the sinners, then we'll be like that tree firmly planted. And when the winds come we're blown about, we're firmly planted and we won't move. So essentially in verse 1 it says, blessed are those who are not distracted, but are seeking the way of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. Another reason why our zeal may waver is because we're tired. The disciples in the garden were tired in Luke chapter 22. Starting in verse 29, 39. And he came out and proceeded, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples also followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. And now an angel came from heaven and appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling upon the ground. And when he rose up from the prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The disciples were tired, and though they were cautioned by Jesus to pray that they would not be tempted, they fell asleep. In the case of our wavering zeal, if the cause of our wavering zeal is tiredness, then we need to seek out our friends and our fellow Christians to help. In this case, the disciples, there were more than one of them there, and they could have helped each other to stay awake, to be more prayerful and more mindful. But we see an example in Exodus chapter 17 of friends helping out. Exodus chapter 17, starting in verse 8, says, then Amalek came up and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, choose men for us to go out and fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. And Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up on top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until sunset. So sometimes when our zeal is wavering, we need to look to our friends to help hold up our hands, to help us regain our zeal. And sometimes the battle is long and tiring, and it's difficult to handle it on your own. You need help. And when you're tired, you can look on your friends. That's what we're here for. That's what the Christian family is all about. It's to help each other get to heaven. But what if you just don't feel like it? Why is it so important to be zealous? It's not like my belief is unfounded or that I'm unfaithful. Why is it so important? Because doing things half-heartedly or because we are told to will not ensure us a victory. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 13. In 2 Kings chapter 13, starting in verse 15, it says, Elisha said to him, now take a bow and arrows. So he took the bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put your hands on the bow. And he put his hands on it. Then Elisha laid his hands on the king's hands. And he said, open the window towards the east. And he opened it. And then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the Lord's arrow of victory, even the arrow of victory over Aram. For you will defeat the Arameans at Aphek until you have destroyed them. And then he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said to the king, strike the ground. And he struck it three times and stopped. So the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck it five or six times, and you would have struck Aram until you would have destroyed it. But now you shall only strike Aram three times. And Elisha died, and they buried him. In this case, the king lacked zeal. He was doing what he was told, exactly what he was told to do, but no more. He didn't have the zeal to continue striking the ground. If he had continued to strike the ground over and over again, he would have been completely victorious over Aram, the Arameans. But instead, he struck it three times and wondered, what am I doing? Why? Just how many times should I strike it? He just stopped. It's important for us to be zealous so that we can have the complete victory over our sins. But if you don't feel like it, how do you convince yourself to be zealous anyway? Well, you just do it anyway. You know what you're supposed to be doing, so just do it. And you can encourage yourself by thinking about others. You should do it anyway because others are looking to you as an example. Others are depending on you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We know from experiences and from social media that it's very fulfilling to do things for other people. The more you do for other people, the more you feel rewarded by that. So if you don't feel zealous, if you don't feel like going to church or whatever, do it anyway because you're encouraging other people, and encouraging other people will then encourage you to do it more. Another reason you should do it anyway is because you're not producing fruit. You need to go and do it anyway because you'll grow and produce fruit. Matthew chapter 24. Starting in verse 32. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already come tender and puts forth leaves, and you know the summer is near. So you, too, when you see all things, recognize that he is near and right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will not pass away, but my words will come to pass. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be like the days of Noah. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. So we need to have our zeal, and we need to be producing fruit because the Lord is coming someday, and we don't know when he's coming, and we don't want to be found skipping church that day because our zeal is wavering. So what do you do if your zeal is wavering? Well, you can identify why. If it's fearful, if you are fearful, then pray and seek him out. If it's distractions that is causing your zeal to waver, then focus on him and meditate on him. If you're tired, If your zeal is wavering because you're tired and weary, you're being beat down by the world, then look to your friends to help you. And if you don't feel like it, then do it anyway. This lesson is aimed for most of us Christians, and it's kind of a confession on my part, because I so often feel my zeal wavering. Sometimes I don't feel like it. Sometimes I don't want to pray. Sometimes I don't feel like singing. But I do it anyway. Why? Because it's encouraging other people, and because I need friends to be there to help, to lift me up. But there might be some of you who do not have, who have misplaced beliefs or are unfaithful. And in those cases, now would be a good time for you to come forward and study with us, to confess your disbelief, or to seek prayers of the congregation, to declare your faith if you're ready to be baptized in Christ. And now would be a great time for that as we stand and sing our invitation song.